Hello, my name is Brian Novoshelsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we're joined by Ashley K. Pendrick, founder and CEO of Prosper RX Consulting, a pharmacist consulting firm that works with various providers and fosters collaborations that improve patient outcomes. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate the time, and I'm excited to be here, Brian.
So today we're going to be discussing the growing prominence of pharmacy consulting and how ongoing developments in the industry put the pharmacy profession at a turning point. So Ashley, to start, can you provide a little more background on Prosper RX Consulting and how your career path has taken you here?
Absolutely. So just as a, big picture overall, Prosper RX Consulting's goal is to provide that one-stop shop for all things clinical pharmacist services. And that helps with our health systems, health clinics, as well as pharmacies, and even pharmacists to get involved in starting profitable clinical pharmacist services. Really, it wasn't long after graduating from pharmacy school and working in the industry at a MTM call center that I found myself wanting more and really itching to be able to use some of the services that I felt like I could provide after that extensive program. And so that led me really looking for additional opportunities and to use my training. I ended up finding a program, and I learned a little bit more of the business side of how to use a pharmacist, how do we integrate into clinical teams, and even provide direct patient care with cash pay services, as well as the pharmacy consulting route. And I mean, having been in the MTM realm, so there is so many different avenues that a clinical pharmacist can then start and provide some consulting options. And it's really, who is it that we want to help? And so that light bulb kind of came on where I knew with my strengths that being an entrepreneur or teaching was really where I belong. And I used that. And with a growing team, we've evolved into, a vast array of those clinical services, from not only business coaching and starting pharmacists from the ground up, but also with our Farm Relief for Health Systems to then provide the bridge between doing good and helping to provide well patient care. And that helps with the economics and the sustainability. Everybody wants to know how to make sure it's sustainable. And this helps with providing not just better patient care, but helping with our burnout problem currently, not only for physicians, but pharmacists, the bureaucracy that a lot of us are all facing, and margins that are slim in both medicine and in the realm of pharmacy.
Awesome. Yeah, obviously there's some dire situations within pharmacy right now, but it's very good to see kind of the initiatives that you and your team have going on. And obviously these can be overcome with when people put their heads together. So I want to dive a little deeper into that. So basically just kind of want to gauge you on how has the pharmacist profession as a whole basically evolved throughout your career?
That is a great question. And I think, coming out of the PharmD program, we were fighting so hard for provider status. And so I know state by state, our profession continues to gain recognition. And there's some expansion of our direct capabilities to fill and to start clinical pharmacist services. I know Illinois just gained some more ability for test to treat. And from discussions with some others, I know Washington and Alaska are among some of the other states that are, on the docket, and they're having conversations and how to, utilize pharmacists as the providers and get the recognition I think that we deserve. Idaho continues to lead the way with prescriptive authority and overall progression, I think, of the profession. And the last, I think, about 7 years, I feel like the health systems, hospital systems and more private practice and medical practices are recognizing that pharmacists can help in solving some of these real world problems, not just for physicians, but for their patients. Medication management, titrating can get complex. And of course, the biggest question continues about, revenue. But we're seeing, and I know for me, nurses and leadership and health plans all looking to, potentially considering these pharmacist additions and moving them from that dispensing role, but that to the true clinical partnership. I feel like that's what we were trained to do, you know, collaborating as a team and integrated as a one provider care team for each patient, getting the optimal care.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. Kind of wanted to focus on provider status and kind of pharmacist scope for a quick second right here. So through your work with ProsperRx Consulting, have you run into any legal or regulatory challenges that have impacted your scope as pharmacists?
That's a great question. And I say that thinking, really, I feel like our profession really struggles with that, right? The potential for the legal and regulatory concerns. And from what I started building, you know, several years ago with Prosper, what I've learned over the years is that we view our licensing and we view the board overall as maybe limiting, a rate limiting step. But honestly, I feel like that's not true in a way. And I say that because really the pharmacy board's there to help protect patients, right? And our profession in a way, but their job is patient safety. And so really we've worked within the confines of the current landscape for regulatory and the state regulations. And so what is already available to us, you know, with collaborative practice agreements and even with some of these state-by-state recognition of pharmacists as providers, there is really so much opportunity out there. So understanding some of that and how to navigate it and not see it necessarily as, you know, a roadblock or a barrier. I haven't seen anything personally because I've built it to make sure that we're in those confines. And pharmacists not knowing how to do that and really taking the initiative in a way to leverage what currently exists. And that's after even speaking to, you know, several people on the Hill and what's going on and the pharmacist lawyers that are out there, you know, there's potential and we just, you know, have to show up and get a little bit out of our own way and use the mechanisms that we do have and kind of leverage those. And so I feel like it's exciting, really use what we have and not sure that we're going to see provider status big picture with federal for the next 5 years, decade, really. But let's not have that hold us back.
No, definitely. That idea of working with what you have and kind of using those opportunities, it is an exciting time if pharmacists are able to kind of use their brains and their creativities to kind of expand their scopes. Last three questions here. I kind of wanted to look ahead a little bit with kind of things that are ongoing. So whether it be medication therapy management, vaccine administration, or overall expertise on medications, pharmacists' role in healthcare, as obviously we've discussed today, has certainly been noticed. Are there any other pharmacist roles that maybe aren't being highlighted that you think deserve recognition aside from the usual vaccines, community pharmacists, kind of non-traditional roles?
So there are, I feel like, a crazy amount of non-traditional roles and roles that have nothing to do with pharmacy as like a big picture. And I'm sure that a lot of pharmacists are hearing about them, you know, and health tech and things of that nature as well. In the realm that I'm working on right now, of course, really feel that, you know, pharmacist-led disease state management and entrepreneur consulting is one of the huge paths that I know it takes some creativity. You know, as you mentioned, they're game changers, really, because we continue to look for flexibility and time freedom and even income potential, right? And so when you're building in the consulting space and overall as a business, the sky is the limit, what you're looking to build. And so health systems are looking for pharmacists and practitioners are looking for support. And if we can show up and have that outline of this is a strategy and go in, you know, prepared and what we're looking to help provide and showcase that value and how that translates to their overall goals for their organization, we can provide a full clinical program if, you know, if that's what the practitioner is looking for, or potentially, you know, offside ancillary services. So consulting pharmacists are, you know, helping build from the ground up medication management programs or looking at their overall, you know, their health outcomes and working to achieve that and improve them. and freeing up physicians' time with managing, you know, patients overall. And so we can build full-scale clinical programs as well. So consulting space and entrepreneur spirit, in a way, is growing. And I think that that's a huge opportunity that more pharmacists should consider.
Awesome. Cool. So I think we covered kind of the opportunities that are here for pharmacists and kind of waiting for them to fill those gaps. Kind of wanted to obviously look ahead. So what advice would you give to a pharmacist looking to leave a retail or independent setting and enter a pharmacy consulting or one of those other non-traditional pharmacy roles?
I mean, if you could do anything from the start, it's just like, well, where would you start all over again? First big picture is really start thinking about what is it that you enjoy, though. And I'd hate for people to start, you know, building something or getting into an area and then a year, 3 years later, they're not satisfied and it just doesn't align with them. So, I mean, my first advice and tips that I share with any of even my business coaches, I share with them that you want to reflect internally a lot as to what is it that you would wake up and do for free, you know? And from that, then start building your confidence, get out there, showcase your value, document the interactions that you're having, and find what, you know, you're enjoying most. Start in getting into some of the billing. I went through a good amount of billing and coding and understanding that, understanding collaborative practice agreements. If that's, you know, the area that you're looking to do is providing actual care and working directly with practices and health systems, if you want more of that autonomy. And I think learning to speak the language of the business or your client. So if you're looking to get into consulting or, you know, an entrepreneur, you want to think, what is it that people are looking for and struggling with? What's their pain point? And overall, how can you come in and help solve that? And what's that transformation look like for them? So after they've worked with you, what does it look like after? And if you can't speak to that quite yet, take some time and you can build and do these things on the side. And, you know, I've shared actually recently, there's some MBA type programming that's available online for free. So there's plenty of options where you want to start, you know, putting some time in and really finding out what's your strengths, where do you belong, and then start, I feel like, with action. One step, 10 minutes, 20 minutes a day, and I think eventually you'll have something that you'll, you know, kind of land in, whether it's through networking or you've built something that you're proud to call your own.
Obviously, the options are there. It's just asking those questions that enforce the action and kind of make that catalyst for stepping into other roles. Awesome. So I think this has been a great discussion, really touching on different parts of where the profession is right now. But looking ahead, finally, what are your overall hopes for the profession? And realistically, where do you see them going in the near future?
I think overall, my biggest hope for the profession is for pharmacists to find fulfillment in the work that they're doing. And I know that that might seem rainbows and butterflies, but realistically, you know, a lot of us get into, you know, becoming a pharmacist and then we end up finding that, you know, we're burnt out or it's just not in alignment with what we're really feeling called to. And so I feel like pharmacists are clinical, you know, team members and we're essential in every health system. And the PharmD program is a STEM degree. So use it to your heart's desire. Find what works for you and what you enjoy. It's not a shackle, you know, with a golden handcuffs, as they say, but really a huge launching pad. So for us and, you know, Prosper and for pharmacists, I do really feel like you're looking to, you know, move towards more of the clinical autonomy and actually practicing direct patient care, there is a need for it. And we're building that right now with the potential for more and more clinical pharmacists needed in these health hubs, community health hubs and pharmacies and in medical practices. And so learn the language of business. And really overall, I'm hoping there will be a pharmacist partnered with a practitioner, a medical doctor, or APP in almost every practice. And that way, we all will see better overall patient care. We'll see an improvement in hospitalizations, disease progression, and preventative health care, what we were all looking for. And so I feel like, you know, the future for pharmacists is really bright. I know that's why I come to my newsletter, you know, the bright side, because there is a bright side. And if we just look on that and try to find it. And if not, then you should be the bright side yourself.
Awesome. I definitely agree with you there. I think that's a perfect way to cap off this discussion. Hopefully discussions like these can inspire incoming pharmacists, pharmacy students, and even people that are looking to just for something new within the industry. So I really appreciate you taking the time and providing our audience with your insights.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.